Hi, and welcome to Sunday Replay for the service on September 29th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and this week we officially start our new sermon series, Do Unto Others, with a message from Reverend Hannah Adair Bonner called Do Justice, Love Kindness. Here's Rev Hannah.
Good morning, friends. This week we're launching into our Do Unto Others sermon series and series throughout the church, along with churches all around the country. There's a lot of things that happen on four-year cycles. The Summer Olympics, the United Methodist General Conference, the time that it takes to finish high school, usually, and yes, our presidential elections. During times like this, there can be a lot of anxiety and tension for those that feel powerless, and for those that fear losing power. Elections change things. And for those who feel most vulnerable, such as the eunuch and the foreigner from Isaiah 56 that we talked about last week, elections can change everything. In moments like this, when the divisions can be so deep and the stakes can be so high, it can be hard to stay in community together with people and remember that we are called, all of us, to be known for our love for one another. We have an opportunity in seasons like this to show our beliefs through our choices and our votes, but we also still have a responsibility to show our beliefs through the ways that we treat the other children of God, regardless of whether we agree with them or not. I remember shortly after I came out publicly as gay clergy, I was having lunch with a clergy person who was on the other side of the debate. And it was a time in which my humanity as a gay person had been kind of the center of the discussion within the church in a way that was very painful. And she looked across the table at me, and she said, "I don't totally understand, but I do understand that what you've done is really hard. And I want you to know that I think you're really very brave, and I'm very proud of you." I will never forget that moment. It was the most sincere and heartfelt support that I got in that season from someone who didn't even probably agree with me about my position on gay clergy, but who was still able to love me and show support for me anyway. It is so important to remember in this season that we do not have to agree with one another in order to be kind to one another. That is the way that God loves us, and that is the way that God calls us to love one another. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scriptures today give us some simple phrases. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. As I read throughout the entirety of the book of Micah this week, these words were like an oasis in the middle of a desert, like a calm in the midst of a storm, because Micah, the book of Micah, is expressing a lot of strong emotions. Micah is expressing the frustration of a God who is grieved at the treatment of the vulnerable, at the way that the powerful dream up schemes at night in their beds, and then, as the prophet says, simply execute them in the morning simply because they have the power to do so. Micah 2:2 speaks of the greed that outrages God, saying, "They covet fields and seize them, houses and take them, people and their inheritance." As a powerful man once said, when you're a star, they just let you do it. In the midst of this, as Micah expresses God's outrage at the suffering that he sees, the people wonder, what can we do to make God happy? Should we make sacrifices? Would sacrificing 1,000 rams please God? The people in Micah ask. Or would 10,000 rivers of oil poured out to God please God? What could fix this? You see, we humans, we have this tendency to want to earn our blessings and not just receive grace. We have a tendency to make it so complicated when we serve a God who isn't interested in grand gestures. God just wants a kind of justice that becomes our normal, everyday way of living. A life where everyone is included and everyone has what they need because of what we do and the choices we make every day. God wants us just to love one another well, the way that God loves us. When God gets the most upset in the Bible, it is not because we broke some arbitrary list of do's and don'ts that God made up just for fun in order to give us something to feel ashamed about. Mm-mm. God gets upset when we disregard the things that God asked us to do because God had a reason to ask us to do them, and it has to do with our wholeness and the wholeness of others. It has to do with relationships, with us having a good relationship with God, a good relationship with each other, and a good relationship with ourselves. Our passage from Micah exists within a context of deep concern for those that are suffering because of the cruelty or the greed or the complacency of others. God has told you, O mortal, Lafayette read, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. This is not a to-do list. It is not separate concepts that we need to work on to complete so we can check them off our list. It is an interlocking system of commitments. Doing justice impacts what it means and looks like to love kindness. Loving kindness impacts what it looks like when Christians do justice. Rather than a to-do list, this is a roadmap to the kind of world that we want to live in. This phrase, do justice, reminds us that justice is an action. It is a way that we treat one another. It is a way that we move in the world. Justice in the scriptures is not the justice system. It is more than what is legal. It is sometimes what is illegal. St. Augustine is said to have written, lex injustia non est lex. An unjust law is not a law. That concept has inspired people throughout history to measure the laws of their nation against the laws of God and act accordingly. Christians are not people who are defined by whether or not they obey the law of their nation. Christians are people who are defined by whether they obey the law of God. Christians have had a long history of living that out through the ways that they interact with their nations. In Germany, Christians lived that out through protecting Jewish people while the Nazis were the law of the land, regardless of what the law said. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the German pastors who opposed the Nazis, wrote, we're not simply to bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself, make it so that it cannot turn anymore. Kindness must be accompanied by justice. Christians here in our own nation have lived this out through smuggling enslaved people to freedom. So we see Harriet Tubman there. When doing so was against the law of this land. And in our own times, by seeking creative ways to help people protect their bodily autonomy as laws encroach further and further upon it, by offering food and water to those who wander in our desert border regions seeking refuge. I became so accustomed to hearing justice as justicia while living in our border region that what I hear in my head when I see the word is the cry of Christians walking along the border wall in Nogales chanting, ¿Qué queremos? Justicia. ¿Cuándo? ¿Ahora? ¿Qué queremos? Justicia. ¿Cuándo? ¿Ahora? Justice is more than the American justice system. It is about having the kind of systems and relationships and networks of support that God desires us to have. It is about living as if we need each other, as if we need God. We carry that out in how we live together in community, in the kind of world that we try to create. Indigenous Pueblo writer Sarah Augustine, in a book that I truly love, The Land Is Not Empty, following Jesus in dismantling the doctrine of discovery, talks about true justice as reparative and restorative, not about retribution and punishment, about restoring relationship, not ending it. She tells the story of how when the United Methodist Women, the global body of which our churches group is a part, came to her asking about how they could do justice with indigenous peoples. She presented to them a plan about how churches, whenever they sold property, could put a portion of that money into a trust for indigenous people in an act of repair for the land that we occupy that had been taken from them. While the United Methodist Women were not able to get the church to approve this, Sarah writes that her feelings and her attitude about what the solution really was actually changed with time. She realized that what she wanted for her people was more than for others to simply pay money as though they were paying a ticket and then walk away from them. She realized that she wanted community, shared power, people working together in solidarity, not walking away, but walking together. She writes, balancing power requires that the powerful reduce their power by handing a portion of it over to the vulnerable, the historically excluded. Right relationships require giving up power. Sharing power means sharing a fate, so that we share the same risks, so that your survival is bound up with mine. She didn't want a justice where people just took a financial hit and then walked away. She realized that justice means finding a way for us to live together, to reorganize the way we do life together, so that the vulnerable are at the center, in the front seat of our journey together, not in our rearview mirror as we drive away. She points us to Psalm 51, 16 to 17. You don't want sacrifices. If I give an entirely burnt offering, you wouldn't be pleased. A broken spirit is my sacrifice, God. You won't despise a heart, God, that is broken and crushed. It is words that echo so closely the sentiments that surround our passage from Micah. It isn't about sacrifices. We can't buy our way out of this one. We can't write a check, pay our dues, and just move on. God wants us to interact with each other. God wants us to be in community with people who are similar to us and different from us, with people who have the same kind of educations and people who have different or no education, but so much to teach us. God wants us to be on a journey together, but not one where it's always the same people carrying the luggage. God wants us to see each other, to look one another in the eyes, to care about each other's suffering, even when it's different from our own. Doing justice and loving kindness go hand in hand. We cannot simply do justice without loving kindness. Then we would miss out on God's invitation to love one another and be in the journey with one another. Nor can we just love kindness without doing justice, because that's when kindness just becomes this weaker thing called nice. When we are complacent, if everyone just seems like they're happy and content, and we don't really listen, and we avoid having the hard conversations that we need to have in order for justice to exist and for no one to be trod underfoot. Nice is polite, very mindful, very demure. Kindness is something a little more sturdy, more heartfelt, the chesed of God. It is compassion, steadfast love, mercy. It is the solidarity that really listens to another person's pain and takes the time to understand and makes the effort to act. Nice puts a dollar in the cup of an unhoused man. Kind looks him in the eye and talks to him until he feels his own humanity reflected in your eyes. It can be tempting in seasons like this to look around us and to see how angry people seem to feel with one another and think it's impossible to stay in community with people, impossible to prioritize both justice and kindness at the same time. But I believe it, because I've seen it over and over again. Back when I was going through the ordination process, I was working as a pastor in a large cathedral-style church like this one in Wilmington, Delaware. And if you know much about banks, most banks are incorporated in this little city of Wilmington, Delaware, because of the tax laws. So most of the young adults that I was working with were young bankers. And these were the days of Occupy, a movement that started out with Occupy Wall Street and spread to cities all around the country in the aftermath of financial crisis in this nation. People were camping out and occupying city blocks and parks in cities around the country in order to make a statement about economic inequality and corporate corruption, the kinds of things that the prophet Micah got upset about. In Wilmington, with all the banks, the protests were very heavily focused there. So as a young pastor, I walked into the Occupy site late one night, looking to connect with the people who are living outside near our church. And the initial reaction that I got was one of shock and the suspicion that people who've been hurt by the church naturally have to a person wearing a collar. But some Jewish folks stepped up and offered me welcome as they lived out this passage from Micah of doing justice while also loving kindness. And I kept going back and building relationships. And when December came around, the young bankers and I walked into the Occupy site with a Christmas dinner to share. And our Occupy hosts invited us to stay for the lighting of the menorah. And something remarkable began to happen. Some of us started having dinner together on Monday nights. Our church would pay an amazing cook, Maria Cabrera, who later became the first Latina city councilwoman in Wilmington, to cook for us. We'd meet at different spots around the city, and members of Occupy and the Young Bankers would break bread together and build relationships. And then the next morning, the folks from Occupy would wake up from their tents and they'd get their signs and they'd go protest in front of the buildings where the people that they were laughing with the night before were working inside. When it got cold, the church invited them inside to hold their meetings. When Ash Wednesday fell on one of their meeting nights, some of them stayed to get ashes at the service. When Passover came around, the Jewish leaders of the Occupy group hosted a Passover Seder at the church. With the support of the church, their community lasted through the winter when other groups around the country packed up. And when it came time for my ordination in Philadelphia, they occupied my ordination. And they gave me this necklace that I still have today that says love in Morse code. We shared life together that year. Activists, professors, artists, students, and unhoused folks drawn to the warmth of the Occupy site, along with the bankers whose places of work they protested during the day. That time together changed all of us. It bound us together in a way that keeps us continuing to check in on each other's lives all of these years later. It is possible to demand that people respect our dignity and our humanity without destroying theirs. It is possible, even in the most divisive seasons, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. If a leader makes a lack of kindness a requirement of following them, you can be sure that the path they are on is not walking humbly with God. Our justice must include kindness, and our kindness must be just. We may not always agree about exactly how to do God's justice, and we may find that there are moments when it is hard to love kindness, when people believe something or do something or say something that harms us or threatens to hurt others. And that is when this last part really matters. Walk humbly with your God. Because we just cannot do it on our own. If it feels hard to you, that's because it's really hard. Each week, I start off praying and trusting that God will show up for me and for us, because I cannot do this on my own. We cannot do this thing on our own. My belief about preaching is that if it ever stops feeling just a little bit scary to get up here in front of you and share what I feel God has placed on my heart, then it's probably time to start thinking about stopping, because that's the time when it becomes about my own strength and not about God. When I get up here, I do so with my hand gripped tightly in God's. We need God. None of us can do this journey ourselves. And no one is getting left behind. This is not the kind of journey where we're competing to keep up. We walk with God, and some of us wheel with God, and some of us sit with God, just as long as we're doing it humbly with God, living our life with an awareness of our need for God. That awareness is what helps us to be open to people even when we disagree, because we know that we get it wrong sometimes. I get it wrong sometimes. And if God can still be open to be on the journey with us when we are not perfect, then maybe we can find the ability to be on the journey with each other too when our not so perfect is showing. So as we journey through this season, let's make sure that there's justice in our kindness and kindness in our justice, and God at the center of it all. Amen.
It's halftime, which means it's time to talk about upcoming events and opportunities here at Harmony Tulika Lake and HUMC. First, on October 6th, there's an outreach opportunity with Food on Foot from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. at 1625 Schrader Boulevard in Hollywood. You can volunteer to distribute food, clothing, and other essential items to 280-plus unhoused and low-income neighbors. Next, Friday Fun Night this October will be scary-oaky. We'll have fun singing spooky tunes or any of your favorite songs. That's 6 p.m. Friday, October 11th, here in Harmony's Fellowship Hall. Lastly, as we are now fully into October, we can look forward to Halloween at Harmony on Thursday the 31st. This is one of our most popular events, and it's a big hit with the Tulika Lake community. You won't want to miss it. Now to close out this episode, here's a song from Gaddison and the Worship Band.
If you would, me, if you would stand up, we're going to sing one last song. Separate, even if I ran away, 'cause your love never fails. Yeah, yeah. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercy for me every day, and your love never fails. Oh, yeah, yeah. Through the ages, and your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Oh yes, you do. And your love never fails. Oh, yeah. See, your love never fails. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, strong and the waters deep. And I'm not alone here in these open seas. I'm sure love never fails. Yeah, the chasm was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. But your love never fails. Morning air, oh, and when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me, oh yes you do, and your love never fails. See, you made all things work together for my good. Do you believe that this morning? See, you made all things work together for my good. I don't care what it looks like. You made all things work together for my good. And I trust you, God, because you made all things work together for my good. Come on, declare that out today. Say, you make all things work together for my good. And I trust you with my life. You make all things work together for my good. Come on, one more time. You make, oh, and you make all things work together for my good. I give you my life, God, cause you made all things work together for my good. Cause you made all things work together for my good.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay here on the Harmony Podcast Network, produced and recorded by me, Donna Miller. This week's guests were Reverend Hannah Adair Bonner and the Harmony Worship Band. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and especially to download these episodes, as it really helps us to continue making content for you and all of our listeners. Sunday Replay is sponsored in part by the Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Toluca Lake is the second campus. Find us on social media and drop us a comment. Join us next Sunday for another service with this affirming faith community. And until then, peace.